Some of you may feel rested after your nap, but I don't want to go into that. Rodney Wilson is here. Rodney and I talked Wednesday night, and he wanted to get his life straightened out. I appreciate him. He's trying to live the Christian life, and we all know that it's not always easy to do that. And we need help. We need encouragement. We need prayers. And so be sure and pray for him, if you would. Let him know that you're thinking about him and you're praying for him, as he is a brother in Christ that is just as clean as the rest of us. How wonderful that is. I hope you're feeling good. I really do. It's, you know, you can feel bad and come to church and start feeling better, can't you? I think you can. I think we get our minds off of ourselves and on what we need to have them on. Tonight we're going to have singing. And as they said, no finger foods. I really hate that, but that's life. You can't eat them, win them all. But you can enjoy yourself. But life has challenges in it. And sometimes those challenges are funny, and sometimes they're serious. I was reading this week of some challenges that some young people make. One of them, and parents, don't think I'm telling the kids to do this, but they may try it anyhow. One challenge was to take a teaspoon of cinnamon and put it in your mouth and swallow it without drinking anything. Now, let me tell you something. If you do that, you are going to fry your throat. But now, young people are doing it. I like another one. The one I really like was, it's called a funny bunny. And the young people were challenging other people to do it. What you do is you take a pack of the big marshmallows, and you put one in your mouth and you say, funny bunny. And then you put another one in your mouth and you say, funny bunny. And the one that wins the challenge is the one that can get the most marshmallows in the mouth and still say, funny bunny. Preachers can get 45 in their mouth. Not me. Oh. But we have challenges. And then there's serious challenges too. It's like a person who maybe loses their sight, they're blind, and they've got to learn how to get around and how to deal with things. That's a challenge in their life. You see somebody that maybe has lost a limb, and it's a challenge to learn how to walk without a limb again. Or maybe you've got an arm that you can't use, and I've been that way several times with shoulder surgery. It's a challenge to learn how to comb your hair with your left hand. It's not something you really want to do. You can't even hardly brush your teeth with your left hand if you're right-handed. If you're left-handed, it doesn't bother you. But you have those challenges. And then we have the challenge, if we lose a loved one, to be able to take our lives and go on in life and go on and enjoy the life that we have. That is a challenge. But today we want to talk about three challenges in our life that I think are very, very important that we need to consider and that we need to think about a great deal. Now, Jesus recognized in what was read in your hearing in Matthew 23 and verse 23 that the Pharisees were people who were religious people. They were fellows who wanted to do what was right. They loved the Lord. They wanted to follow. They wanted to do whatever God said. And Jesus complimented them on that. And that's what he's doing here. He said, listen, you are doing those things, but you have neglected some of the great things that you need to be doing. And that was that of justice, mercy, and faith. He said, you forgot about those things, and you need to add those things to what you've got. So the challenge for these people, and the challenge was very hard for them to understand that they had to be those people that they were going to meet the challenge, that they were going to gain these things. Some of them were able to do it. Some were not quite as able to do it because it was a hard thing for them. It's hard to rise above your raising, but sometimes we need to do that. Several people have done that in their life. But Jesus said here, these things are going to be added. He said, don't leave those other things out. You're doing those things good, but add these things to it. And the challenge for them was to add these things and to get a proper balance within their life. You see, they were people that wanted to obey the law, but they forgot about the heart of the law. And the heart of the law was people and helping people to see the right way to go. That's what Jesus was trying to get across to them. And a few of these things, these serious things that they had to deal with, were things that they must deal with. And these are challenges, I think, that we need to deal with. Now, I want you to look at the first one. How to maintain balance. And we've got to. Now, the first challenge that we have is to grow in faith, but not to withdraw from the world. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm saying, and if you misunderstand it, come and talk to me about it. Because sometimes I don't think we realize that. And sometimes it sounds like we're talking two ways when it's one way. We've got to understand it. Here, these people needed to understand that they needed to reach out to the world. The Pharisees would not have anything to do with people that were in sin. They wouldn't have anything at all to do with them. And if you were a tax collector, of course they weren't going to deal with you. You were one who cooperated with Rome. You were one who was their puppet. And so they would just turn around and reject them totally. I can see that they probably would not even allow them to come into the temple. They needed to understand this idea of recognizing that they needed to be people who associated with those that were sinners. This is what Paul said, and I'm reading out of the New Century Version, 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and 10. Listen to what he said. I wrote to you in my earlier letter not to associate with those that are sexually immoral. He said, I've written you a letter and told you don't just associate with those that are sexually immoral. Now, if you left it there, and it seems that some people at Corinth had thought about that, and so they wouldn't have anything to do with anybody that was sexually immoral. They wouldn't talk to them. They wouldn't associate with them. But now look at what Jesus, and isn't that what we say sometimes in the church? Now, look at the rest of this passage, verse 10. But I do not mean, now I've said that, but I don't mean that you should not associate with those of this world who sin sexually or are greedy or robbers or those who worship idols. To get away from them, you would have to go out of this world. He's saying, listen, understand, I'm not saying you need to participate in what they're doing. I'm not saying you need to have to glory in what they're doing. But I'm saying what you've got to do, you can't get away from those people, so associate with them. Don't become like them. That's what we've got to do. That's our challenge. Our challenge is to live in the world and to help people that are in sin, but us not become involved in sin. You say, well, wait a minute. If I just stay away from them, I won't have that. You can't do that. You can't win somebody you don't talk to. And you've got to talk to them. You've got to have some association with them so that you can understand that. God did not intend for Christian people to go into a monastery and to hide away from the world. And He didn't intend those of us that are Christians to hide in the monastery of the church. But we do it, don't we? In fact, our religion is tied to the church as far as a physical building. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about church. I'm not talking about what we teach, but I'm talking about what we do. And He's saying here, don't do that. In John 17, verses 14 through 15, Jesus is in His prayer to God. And listen to what He said. Jesus said, I have given them to you. I've given them your word. And the world has hated them because it hated me because I brought your word. That's basically what He's saying. And He said, they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not pray. Now listen to this part, verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Now what's He saying here? He's saying, God, I know that these fellows, they've got the word and they're going to teach the word. They're going to go out into the world and meet sinners. That's their job, is to meet those people that are sinners. And to help them to see what righteousness is and to help them to see how to live a righteous life. That's what God wants us to do. That's what He's asking us to do here. That's what He's praying for these disciples to be able to do, that they might be able to do that. Jesus associated with sinners. Now, listen to this one. Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13. I'm not going to read all of this, but just a part of it. Jesus saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office or the tax table. He was taking the collection up. Jesus went over to Matthew, and probably Matthew didn't know what to say or what to do. Here's this new fella coming in talking to us. He said, Matthew, follow me. Matthew got up and followed Jesus. In fact, he did more than that. If you go on and read in this passage, it says that he brought Jesus to his house, and there were a bunch of tax collectors in there. There were a bunch of sinners in there. The Pharisees came up, and you know what they said? Why is your master in there eating with sinners? They would not do that. They would not associate with those people that were sinners. They would not have anything to do with those people. They would turn away and reject them. Brethren, we do that sometimes. We don't even do it to sinners. We do it to our own brethren. Now listen to this one. We do it to other people in other churches. Oh, they teach this and they teach that, and we don't even know what they teach. They do this or they do that. How can you win people if you don't talk to them? How can you win people that are Christians if they're doing things that are wrong? How can you win them if you don't associate with them? How can you do that? We've got to do that. Stand for the truth. Do what the truth says. Always follow what God's Word says. But that does not mean that I've got to pull myself over here and I can't have anything to do with anybody that's a sinner, and especially if he's a member of the church and he's doing something I don't think he should be doing. I need to go sit down and talk to him and not talk about him. Well, we preach on gossip and then we participate in it so well. We do that, and it's wrong. It's just as wrong for us to do it as anybody else. We'll talk about another church. This church, oh, they do this and they do that and they do this and they do that. Let me tell you something. Hush. Don't talk about that. If you've got a problem, go talk to them. Don't talk to everybody else. And speak well of your brethren. You know, my son Danny was telling me, he said, you know, I've seen, I don't know how many churches named Corinth. He said, do they realize what the Corinth church was? I mean, they were people who had a fellow that had his father's wife and they were bragging about it. They were people who were involved in sin. They had a problem with marriage and divorce. They had a problem with this. They had a problem with that. But Jesus didn't just dump them out. And Paul didn't dump them out. What they wanted to do was help those people to know the right way to go. And the only way to do that is to be with them and teach them. We're afraid we're going to get corrupted. I hate to tell you, we already are. And if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, we'd be just as lost as anybody else. We've got to understand how this is. The Pharisees wouldn't associate with those that were sinners. Brethren, we're like that in the church to a certain extent. And we need to get out of that. That shouldn't be a part of us. How can we convert people if we don't talk to them? We can't do that. So what we've got to do is to be able to talk to them. We've got to be able to help them. We must be involved in the lives of people. You say, listen, I'm going to be involved with sinners. Yes, that's your job. And your job is to be faithful as you associate with sinners. Your job is to stand up for what is right when you're in the midst of sinners. That's what we're supposed to do, help people to be able to see that. Now, listen to Matthew 5 and verse 13. You're the salt of the earth. Who's he talking to? Christian people. Faithful, godly people. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its flavor, what's it good for? Nothing. It's good to throw out on the road when it gets slick or wet. But that's all it's good for. What's he saying there? Don't become like the world. Keep your flavor about you. Keep your faithfulness about you. And don't give up and don't stop. And you keep on serving. Don't do that. And you are one who is to look at other people and see a soul that needs to be reached and not a person you should not talk to or you should not associate with. We've got to be willing to do that. Don't be so naive as to think that we're people and that we're not going to be tempted either. If you associate with those that are sinners, you're going to be tempted. That's just a part of it. That's a part of it. And you need to know when to leave too. And when to get out of the way. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12. He said, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Brethren, I'm persuaded that any one of us could be put in a situation where we'll be tempted to do wrong. Now what we've got to do is to overcome that. How do you do that? By having your faith in Jesus Christ, knowing what God wants you to do, and doing it. That's what we've got to do. And if we don't do that, then we're going to miss out on a great deal. Now, second point. Hadn't got but one more. I should have had 8 points in this lesson. But I didn't. To discipline ourselves. That when we become a Christian, that we don't look at other people in the wrong way. And that we have patience with other people. How many times that we're a Christian and we see somebody do something wrong and we can just, oh, look at that. How terrible that is. How awful that is. And I know it may be. But what we need to do is look for an opportunity to try to help those people. Sometimes we get so self-righteous in the church, and I've had people tell me that. Oh, those people down there, they're so self-righteous. And let me tell you something, it's true. Well, that's a big revelation, isn't it? We look at other people and we think we're better than they are because we're following the truth. Well, let me tell you something. You better take heed lest you fall. You better watch out. We've got to learn that idea of controlling ourselves. Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27 said, "But I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection that after I preach to others, I might be lost." You can teach the truth and be living in sin. You can do that. I've known of preachers that they had an affair going on while they were standing in the pulpit and preaching. And Linda said, "How can they do that? How can they do that?" I said, "They don't have you as a wife. Those boys would be dead. How can they do that?" Paul said, "Listen, I know that I'm right with God, but I don't want to think I'm so right that I'm better than anybody else. I don't want anybody to think that." And he said, "Listen, I got to be careful that I don't let my ego get so big that I think I'm always right in everything and everybody else is wrong." He said, I can't be that way. I cannot be that way or I'll be lost myself." Preaching and you're lost. And I guess sitting in a pew and being lost is also kind of applicable to that too, isn't it? Jesus spoke of some who were so self-righteous that they trusted in their own selves and that they didn't depend upon the Lord. Listen, the only difference between us and the world, people that are lost, is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not that we're smarter. It's not that we're better. It's not that we're more obedient. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that cleanses us. And all we can do is brag about the Lord on that. We can't brag about ourselves. In Luke, the 18th chapter, Jesus talks about some people. And he wants us to understand it. The Pharisees were there in verse 9, and they were self-righteous. They were depending on their own selves. They were those that thought that they were right and everybody else was wrong. Now that's where they were, smug in what they had, smug in who they are, and they're better. And Jesus gives this illustration. He said, two men went down to pray. Did I push? Yeah, I got that button. Two men went down to pray. One was a Pharisee. One was a tax collector. The Pharisee went down and he stood up straight. He looked up to heaven and basically he said, "God, you better be glad that you've got me. I'm righteous and I live and I do this and I do that and I serve you and I do all these things." Jesus said, "And here you have the publican over there." The publican gets down on his knees. And he holds his head down and he beats on his chest and he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner." He said the Pharisee went away satisfied. But the tax collector went away justified. You see, that story had to burn some people because they thought we're right. Jesus wanted them to know, listen, you be a person that you be on your knees all the time. You don't look at anybody else and say, "I'm better than they are." You don't do that. We don't have the right to do that. What we have is what Jesus Christ and God have given us, and that's all we have, and we don't have anything else, and we can't brag about all this other stuff because it was just given to us. It's something that we have and that we can't really think about, knowing all this and having all this. We've got to recognize that we've got to be those people that we serve God and we do His will. Jesus helps the people and helps us to be able to see these things so that we can know it. We've got to be people who we recognize who we are and what we are. We're people that have been forgiven by Jesus Christ. We've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made righteous by what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. And so we can't be better or greater than anybody else. What we've got to do is to look at our sins and see ourselves. Let me tell you something. If you look at your sins and you're honest with yourself and you see your sins, you cannot look at other people and judge them in a condemning way. But if you're judging people and you're judging their sins and what they do that's wrong and how they're not living right and how they're not doing right, let me tell you something. You're not right. We've got to look at people who are in sin and say, listen, I'm there too, but look at what happened. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me. And I can't brag about how good I am, what I've done. It's a gift from God, and I have that. And so I can be sympathetic to the sins of others. I can take the sins of others, and I can see their sins, and I can have, like Paul was talking about, if you find a brother in sin, restore him. How do you do that? Like a doctor taking care of a broken arm. You know if you move it the wrong way or if you move it hardly at all, it's going to hurt. But you do it to help the person. And we got to do it to try to help people. This next point is one that I don't think we do as well teaching this. And it's not because I'm teaching it, but looking at this, I don't know how good we are. What we've got to do is to realize God enjoins us to enjoy this life that we have and to enjoy the things that we have. I've seen times when preachers would get up and they would preach, and man, if you had bought a new car in the last 5 years, you felt like a rat. Nothing wrong with that. And if you buy anything else, it is. No, it's not. If you buy a new house, what should you have done in giving to the Lord? And maybe that's a way to raise money. I don't know. But I don't think it's the right way. Listen to this, if you would. Listen to this passage and help that we can understand it. It is good and fitting, Solomon said, for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the goods of all his labors. He toils. He makes those things. He earns those things. Now, I know it's from God, but he does that. And he said, it's not wrong to enjoy that. It's not wrong to enjoy those things of life. Sometimes we preachers leave the impression, if you have anything new, oh man, you should be giving to the Lord. Let me tell you something. Enjoy what you have. But if you don't give to the Lord like you should, then you're going to have to give an account for it. But he's not saying you've got to live in a hut and give every dime you make to God. Now, if you want to do that, that's your business. But understand something. It doesn't make you more righteous than anybody else. And that's what he's talking about here. Solomon said, it's all right to have the things of this world. It's all right to use those things of this world. Don't let those things of this world use you. Don't let those things of this world be things that they control your life. Don't you forget that all these things are a gift from God, and God has given us every bit of this. We need to remember what Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 20. He said, for our citizenship, who we are, who we belong to, is in heaven. It's not just on this earth. We've got to remember that there's a place called heaven. And whatever we do in this life is going to affect that life. And that's really more of a life than what we've got here. We've got to understand how to use these things and how to use them in the right way. And Solomon was saying, use these things, but don't let them use you. You be able to do that. Heaven is a place that we're going to be a part of, and we can be a part of that now in the way we live our lives, the way we serve God, and the way we do God's will. We've got to be willing to do that. I'm hard pressed on every hand, Paul says, but I don't give up. Even if you don't have what you think you should have, you still serve God. You still do what God wants you to do. Because heaven is a place you want to be. Heaven is a place that you have, that you are a part of. Paul said, I understand how hard it is to face these things and deal with these things. He said on one occasion in Philippians 1 verses 23 and 24, I'm at a crossroads here basically. And in this crossroads, I've got to decide. And it seemed that Paul at this time felt like he could just, with a breath, just give in and go to heaven. Or he could stay on this earth. He said, what I'd like to do is to go on to heaven. But what I'm going to do is to stay here on this earth so that I can help others and do for others. Brethren, we got to understand Christianity is not for us, it's for others. What we do for others to help them to be better people, to help them to serve God in a greater way, to help them to be a greater servant. That's what we've got to do, and we've got to be willing to do that. Now, what we've got to do is we've got to understand the challenge that is before us. To live in the world, not to go out of the world, to live in the world, but to associate with those that are sinners so that we might teach them what is right. Don't get involved with their sin, but help them to see the right way to go. Teach people where you are. Help them to see the way they need to live. Constantly examine your own life that you're doing what's right and you're living the right way and you're serving God because they're seeing you and they're seeing how you serve God. Show them how to be a Christian. Wherever you are, isn't it wonderful to get to come to church? And I use that like we use it, coming here together as people. It's great to be able to do that. What we've got to do, though, is to realize we go back out into the world. We come to church to learn, to grow, to get our batteries charged up so that we can go out to the world and we can help people to see how to live. And not look at them as we're better than they are. Because again, I want you to know, you're not. None of us are. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that separates us. Because don't you do the same sins as those other people? You can go to God and say, God, forgive me. I guarantee you, He'll forgive you. You know what? They can go to God as a child of God, and ask God to forgive them, and He will. He will wash them, He will cleanse them as though they've never ever sinned before. That's the message we got to deliver to them. Not this is wrong in your life and that's wrong in your life, but Jesus Christ is one that loves you and cares for you. That's what the message was. The sermons that they delivered in the first century was Jesus Christ. Every one of them had to do with Jesus Christ. How He lived, how He wants them to live. That's the challenge. What's the challenge in your life? What's the thing that you've got to overcome in your life? Will you meet that challenge? Will you live that life? Will you teach that to other people? Will you help them to see the right way to go? If you're not a Christian, the challenge for you today is to become a child of God. You say, that's not easy to do. Okay. But because it's not easy to do does not mean we don't need to do it. We need to do it. And when you think about it, it is such a simple act. Going up there and being immersed in water, that's not that hard. How hard is it for me during the invitation song to come up here and sit down on a pew and tell the preacher, the elders, I have sinned? any one of us can do it. Anyone. And if you can't, ask somebody. I'll come get you. I get Gary to help me. We can talk about anybody. Even though we are old. There's no reason for you not to be a child of God and to live the Christian life, to be forgiven. So we sing this song to encourage all of us to think about our souls.